Ich schuss herab, am Eure der Ass verschließen. At first glance, when you come into Tisha B'Av, you think to yourself, I'm here again. Once again, I sit on the floor and we mourn over the Siluk HaShchina. Kodesh Baruch Hu left town. Siluk HaShchina, we mourn over the separation and we pray for reconciliation. And it appears on first glance that everything really is the same as last year. Nothing has really changed. It's the same scene once again, year after year. 1,956 years have passed since the Chum Beis HaMikdash. And once again, I'm sitting here on the floor. And again, I'm mourning the intimacy, the chance that we had to be close to Borei Olam. Chazal give a moshul of a ben hasoymech al shulchan oviv, like a child sits at his father's table. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, we sat at the table together. Maybe we give a moshul to the moshul. Yeshiva Bacha comes from America to Eretz Yisrael, and his father gives him a certain amount of money so that he'll last him until Pesach when he goes back again. By the time he comes to Simchas Torah, he's spent all his money. He's got nothing left. He's broke. He decides, if I call up my father at home, who knows what the mood will be? I don't know. Maybe he'll blow up on the phone. I can't take the risk. Much better if I just borrow money. He's prudent. He's wise. I'll borrow money until I get home at Pesach. When I'm sitting at the table with Dad, and we're sitting together, I can put my arm around him. I say, Dad, listen, you know, I don't have any more money. When we're close together, it's entirely different when you're sitting at the table together. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, we were together. Hashem took his chelek and we took our chelek. Much easier to say there, Avinu Malkeinu Chaneinu V'aneinu Kein Bonu Masim Aseyu Monu Tzedoko V'Chesed V'Hoshienu. Much easier to say that when you're sitting at the table with Abba, Avinu Malkeinu. And therefore, that is the feeling that we have. We're feeling the loss, the intimacy. Many of us don't feel that, and we feel bereft that we don't feel that. We are mourning that we don't feel the mourning. That's one of the problems we have. There's an old man who used to come to shul in Yerushalayim several years ago. And he davened every morning in the shul. He was an old man. And they noticed from his mizbalim that every time he came to Birchas Kohanim, he walked out of shul. Didn't understand why. He never stayed in shul for Birchas Kohanim. And the people turned around, an old man, they didn't want to start questioning him. Why are you walking out? He was a very devout man, he davened with great care. And yet they saw he left every time. They wondered what on earth was going on. They said to the Rav, and the Rav decided, he'll take a chance, he'll speak to him. The Rav went over to him and said, do you mind if I ask you? And I notice that you go out every single time for Birchas Kohanim. What is the reason why? So the old man replied as follows, I'll tell you why. I was in Auschwitz, and we were all together, hundreds of us, in a certain hut. And it was disastrous, it was drastic. 11 o'clock at night, one night, and one of the other people who were sleeping there turned around and said to me, you know, it's Leil HaSeder tonight. I managed to find some sort of grains, and I managed to make a little bit of matzah. Everybody can have like a thumb size of matzah I made for everybody. Why don't we make a Leil HaSeder together? They started, and then a few more people woke up. Eventually, nearly the whole of the bunk, everybody was awake. This one said, I remember Alachma Anya. This one said, I remember Abin Mayinu. And they remembered what they could, and they set out to Leil HaSeder. And they went through. There was a noise. And the captain came in, and he saw what was going on. He took his gun and went straight to the man. Who's responsible for this? And the man said, I am responsible for this. He took his gun, and then he said, no, I'm not going to kill you now. I'm going to take you out tomorrow morning, and I'm going to hang you in front of everybody, because you committed such an offense. Came to the following morning and they put the gallows up, they put a rope around his neck. And then the captain turned around, the Nazi, the Rosher, turned around and said to him as follows, you know, we always grant one request. I'll let you have one request. What is it? So he said, this is my request. I am a priest and I used to give a blessing to all of the people on Yom Tov. What I'd like to do is I'd like to stand here on the gallows and give a bracha to everybody here who's here in front of me. There were thousands of people there. And the madman said, it was unbelievable the way he said it. Everybody felt as if they were in the Beis HaMikdash. That Birchas Kohanim was unbelievably moving. That mood was such a mood that we all felt as if we were in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they hung him. I'm scared I might lose that mood. I can't hear someone else say Birchas Kohanim. That by me is the Beis HaMikdash. I heard this Kohen before he was hung, said Birchas Kohanim. I can't listen to anything else. I'm still in the Beis HaMikdash, listening to Birchas Kohanim. I can't do that. I can't hear anybody else. It's enough for me, the memory, and I live with the memory of Birchas Kohanim. Anything else will never match what I saw. That man lived with the Beis HaMikdash, no, in such an awful condition. And therefore, we mourn that intimacy. We mourn sitting at the table together. We mourn the inability to be able to share a korban together. Of course, we must go further as well. We must remember that we are living in the shadow of the Dor HaMidbar, of the Meraglim. This was the night, well, last night, when they came back, Meraglim, and they gave the evil report. And all of Klal Yisrael started crying that night. And that was a drastic, drastic move to make. To start crying on the night because of the evil report. Eretz Acheres Yoshveva, the land of giants. It's not possible, but we'll take over, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. And they started crying that night. And that is the reason why we're sitting on the floor. The reason is because they cried that night. So we are committed, we are sentenced to cry this night because of the Chol Beis HaMikdash Bayis Fishon HaBayis Sheni. The night was designated as a night of crying. Rabbi Yisai, stop a minute and think. A few months before this event happened in the Midbar, every person there in the Machaneh must have remembered Ahmad drank blood, Navam and Sarah drank water. They remembered seeing all the frogs. What happened here? Of course they remember the frogs. They remember the shimmering of the ground on the kid. They remember all that. They remember walking down the street and a lion or a tiger or a bear would grab an emitzri and take a bite out of them. They remember all that. What happened? They forgot all the nisim of Mitzrayim. How can you possibly forget? How can you possibly forget walking in the house of a mitzvah and they're all sitting in darkness and they saw wherever the gold and the trinkets are? How can you possibly forget? How can you possibly forget the night of wailing? What was greater noise? The noise of the dogs or the noise of the b'choim who were all dying? And we were seeing Halu Avdei Hashem, Avdei Pa. How can they have forgotten all that on that night when the spies came back? What happened? A few days later, they crossed the Yam Suf, the unbelievable Neis. No? They saw dry land, and they saw all the mitzvim, and the beauty and the bounty that they took out of the sea. Unbelievable. What happened? They forgot the miracles, they forgot the Mon, they forgot Matan Torah. How can you possibly do that? That is the problem. They forgot what they had seen. But you can't forget that scene. You can't live with it without remembering what happened in Mitzrayim a few months before they saw that. La Boisai. We are matching that Dor HaMidbar in the following way. We also have seen unbelievable nisim in the last few weeks. We are similar to the Dor HaMidbar. What we have seen in the last few weeks is also unbelievable miracles. We are in the same position as the Dor HaMidbar for the following reason. The Rav Shlita mentioned a few weeks ago, I think it was Parshas Baal Loischa, we're not soymech on the neis, but we are regilim b'neis. We are accustomed to neis, said the Rav. It's a beautiful point. The nisim which occurred are unbelievable nisim. We saw with ourselves nisim geluim. 1,000 drones came over, nothing touched. Over 550 ballistic missiles. We saw unbelievable miracles here. We also witnessed in the last few months, incredible, what was my mishpacha in America, my mishpacha in England told me that Motzi Shabbos, everybody was in the shul crying and davening that night when the Iran was sending them. Nothing happened here. Nothing happened here. Unbelievable scene here. What we witnessed, we also witnessed miracles. Why are we different from the Dor HaMidbar? We also saw miracles like this. 29 people were killed. They expected hundreds every day to be killed. They had fridges and coffins all prepared. What we saw, we also saw miracles as well. Goodness me, 9 of them were goyim as well. 20 each year is a diamond by us. Each one is an olam. But nevertheless, it was nothing compared to what it could have been. I remember reading an article. The ground staff at the military airfield were astonished. There were over 200 planes which were involved in going over to Iran. Over 200 planes. All the ground staff was very worried that maybe the planes won't make it back. The wear and tear traveling backwards and forwards. Listen to this. Every plane came back as if it had hardly been used. I mean, it was almost like new. There was 30% maintenance which was needed on just a few fuel, that, nothing more. Unbelievable nisim we saw. Incredible nisim. The shul in Cholon, no? The first minion finished davening at 7:15. The second minion started at 7:25. 7:20, the bomb fell. There was no one in the shul. These are miracles. We are like the Dor HaMidbar. We also saw miracles. I feel a little bit, but even though we said Echo, I feel a little bit we should really be saying something like the beautiful song of Rabbi Fine Waxman. If we lived 1,000 years, if we lived 1,000,000 years, there would never, ever, ever be time enough for thanking you, Hashem, for praising you, Hashem, for all you've done for us. Goodness me, what happened to us here? Look what happened here. It's an incredible scene here. We are like the Dor HaMidbar. We can't possibly forget what happened to us in the last few months. We also witnessed miracles as well. And the Rav stressed this in such a beautiful way. This is what we have. This is what we saw. We must be affected by this. We can't be like the Dor HaMidbar. We can't possibly be like this. But Naftali Kaplan, Shlita, the great Zokeh, the Pikeach of the Dor, invite the Gan, said that the Geula Shleima will come about in stages of Gilui Hashchina, both to the Goyim and also to Klal Yisrael. It will come in stages of Gilui Hashchina. I would like to read out to you an article which was written by a Goy, which I was very, very taken by. A Goy in England, in a newspaper, wrote the following. This is how the Goyim look at Klal Yisrael. It's worth listening to it. The end is incredible. But you'll gain so much. Meaning, how do they see the Gilui Hashchina by the secular world? There's something about Israel that makes people uncomfortable, and it's not what they say it is. They'll point to politics, settlements, borders, and wars, but scratch beneath its outrage and you'll find something much deeper. A discomfort, not with what Israel does, but what with Israel is. A nation this small should not be this strong, period. Israel has no oil, no special natural resources, a population barely the size of a mid-sized American city. They are surrounded by enemies, hated in the United Nations, targeted by terror, condemned by celebrities, boycotted, slandered, and attacked, and still they thrive like there's no tomorrow. In military, in medicine, in security, in technology, in agriculture, in intelligence, in morality, in sheer unbreakable will. They turn desert into farmland. They make water from air. They intercept rockets in mid-air. They rescue hostages under the nose of the world's worst regimes. They survive wars that were supposed to wipe them out, and then they win. The world watches this and cannot make sense of it. So what they do is what people do when witness strength that they cannot understand. They assume it must be cheating. It must be American aid. It must be foreign lobbying. It must be oppression. It must be theft. It must be some dark trick that gave the Jews this kind of power. It must be blackmail. Heaven forbid it's something else. Heaven forbid it's real. Heaven forbid it's earned. Heaven forbid, or worse, it's destined. The Jewish people were supposed to disappear a long, long time ago. That's how the story of exiled, enslaved, hated minorities is supposed to end. But the Jews did not disappear. They actually came home, rebuilt their land, revived their language, and brought their dead back to life in memory, in identity, and in strength. That's not normal. It's not political. It's biblical. There's no cheat code that explains how a group of people return to their homeland after 2,000 years. There is no rational path from the gas chambers to global influence. And there is no historical precedent for surviving the Babylonians, the Romans, the Crusaders, the Inquisition, the pogroms, the Holocaust, and still showing up to work on Monday in Tel Aviv. Israel does not make sense unless you believe in something beyond the maths. This is what drives the world crazy, because if Israel is real, if this improbable, ancient, hated nation is somehow still chosen, protected, and thriving, then maybe God isn't a myth after all. Maybe he's still in the story. Maybe history is not random. Maybe evil does not get the last word. Maybe the Jews are not just a people, but a testimony. That's what they can't stand. Because once you admit that Israel's survival isn't just impressive, but divine, everything changes. Your moral compass has to reset. Your assumptions about history, power, and justice collapse. You realize you're not watching the end of an empire, you're witnessing the beginning of something eternal. So they deny it, they smear it, and rage against it, because it's easier to call a miracle cheating than to face the possibility that God keeps his promises, and he's keeping them still. Beautiful article. That's how the Goyim see it in the secular world. Unbelievable. Now, Rabbi, look at the Torah world, look what's happened here. There's been a phenomenal renaissance in Torah. You know, Torah is one of the richest, most popular commodities in the world. You can be in the South Pole, you can be on the North Pole, you can be in a cave, you can pick up Torah wherever you are. Toho has grown enormously. I came here in 1980. 1980, there were about 400 people in the new yeshiva. Now there's over 10,000 people. We have not since we took the idea and ran with it. But all the yeshivas are like that. Lakewood is the same. All the communities around Yerushalayim, Ramat Shlomo, Ramot, Bet Shemesh, Neve Yaakov, Mevaseret, all these communities, Maale Adumim. The growth is incredible here. What's happening here? We can't possibly stand back and just say, okay, I see what's happening. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. We are like the Dor HaMidbar, Rabbi Yisrael. We're exactly the same. We also witness miracles. And since we witness miracles, we are also have a tefillah against us in the same way. We also must respond a certain way. Bearing that in mind, the Rambam in Yochus Tainis, Perek Hay, explains, the whole tachlis of Tzayim is tshuva. The whole purpose is tshuva, to come to do tshuva. There is in Eicha only one pasuk which deals with tshuva, not Hashuveinu Hashem Elecha v'noshuva. That's a request for Siyata Dishmaya. Nach pesadoch keinu v'nach koyva v'noshuva ad Hashem. That is the pasuk. There's only one pasuk of tshuva. Nach pesadoch keinu v'nach koyva v'noshuva ad Hashem. My Rebbe Reb Aryeh, Zechatari Divach, Reb Aryeh Finkel, once explained using the words of the Biskorov. It's in the Gris on the Torah. The Gris says as follows. The Gemara in Eivin, Daf Yud Gimel. Noach Adam Shalom Nivra. Ba'achshav she Nivra, Yefashbeish b'maisav, or Elmim Yemashmeish b'maisav. Pishbush means examining, scrutiny, as in investigating. Mishmush means touching, feeling, testing, like you test a material. Said the Biskorov, Nach Besot Ocheinu means pishbush in your maisav. Maybe you're not talking right. Maybe you're not benching properly. Maybe you're doing aveiros. Pishbush means testing any aveiros which we did. Nachkarot, says the Biskorov, is your mashmish. I daven in the morning, but I don't daven well enough. I say birchas hamazon, I don't have kavana. I honor my parents, but I don't do it enough. No? I do mitzvahs, that's called nachkarot. Pishbush is nachbasot orkeinu, meaning what I do wrong. And nachkarot means mitzvahs that I do, which I do my things right. And therefore, Rabbi Yisai, our avoda, we saw miracles as well. The Dor HaMidbar cried this night. What we must do because of the miracles, I think in some way we are kapar for that Dor. We also saw miracles. We see them in front of us all the time. The growth of Torah, the growth of Eretz Yisrael, the growth of enormous growth in communities. There's no limit to the growth here, what's going on here. You see what's happening here. And what Naftali said is so true. Stage after stage, the world is reckoning Gilui Shechina, both the world and also Klal Yisrael. That's where it's coming to. And therefore, we have to do, I think, tonight, something which is called Tibul Shoyosh, root canal work, in the following way. We have to look at the origins of why God has happened to us, what happened here, try and examine it and move on from there to try and come out with certain tikkunim, which I think will be long-standing, which will move us on from this stage of sitting on the floor to it will turn into Ola B'Simcha B'Sosa Mikor in the following way. Let's start with the Bris Bein HaPsalim. The Medrash brings down in Parsha Mem in Bereishis, at the time of Bris Bein HaPsalim, Avraham Avinu was shown Eima Hashecha G'dayla Nefeles Alot. He saw early in the morning an incredible fog, and he was terribly disturbed. Ribbono Shel Olam came to him in the morning and said to him as follows. There are four scenarios that you're going to see. Matan Torah, Beis HaMikdosh, Golos, and Gehinnom. Ribbono Shel Olam said to Avraham Avinu an awesome ultimatum. If your family keep the first two, they will be spared from the second two. If they break the first two, Matan Torah and Beis HaMikdosh, they don't live up to the standards, which of the second two do you choose? Do you choose Golos or you choose Gehinnom? Says the Medrash as follows. Avraham Avinu waited the whole day long. When it came to Shkia time, he then turned around and said to Borei Olam, I choose Golos over Gehinnom. Asks the Goran, in Rabbi Deber, to Rabbi Deber, Baba Chanas, Rabbi Deber Tuna, those famous Agadas in Baba Basra. What on earth was the reason for the delay that Avraham Avinu waited? Why did he need to wait a whole day? Obviously, Golos is better than Gehinnom. Gehinnom is awful. Gehinnom, who needs to? Golos at least has a possibility of Geula. Why on earth did he hesitate all day long? Listen to this beautiful answer of the Goan. What does it mean, Avraham, Avraham Avinu? Listen to this, listen to the Goan. Most magnificent pshat of the Goan. Avraham Avinu said as follows, I can't possibly send my kinderlach into Golos if I myself am not at the Dauga to withstand all the nisyonos of Golos.
I myself must be able to withstand it. And therefore the whole day he davened and moved himself and strived to be able to withstand all the nisyonos of Golus. Then at the end he said, I choose Golus, that form of Avinu. I can't do it. It's a pasuk in Hazinu, ki tzureinu nimkanu, we were sold by Avraham Avinu. And that's the nature of it. Golus came because of Avraham Avinu, meaning the Avos sent us into Golus. That's the reason. Avraham sent us into Golus. Shlomo HaMelech took a little stage further and took the point even further. Hagid ani she'ava nafshi, said Klal Yisrael to Borei Olam. Eicha tira, eicha tabitz batzoharayim. Where will you take us to graze? Where will you take us to live? Batzoharayim, says the Gaon, in the heat of the day, in the heat of persecution. Where are we going to live in the times of Golus? Shalom e'eye ka'otya al et'echaveirecho. We're going to remain all the time a lost wandering Jew. Is that our future? Is that what we're supposed to do? He answers by Reolam. I will tell you, you're most beautiful of women, you're most beautiful of nations. Si'iloch be'ikve hatzoi. Uri eskidiyo saich al mishkenes ha'roim. Look carefully to the past. Review history. Maisa others similar bonim. Look at the shepherds of the past, meaning the others hakadoshim. Look carefully to see what happened in the past, and that will be your compass, how to guide yourself through Golas. The others hakadoshim showed us. Said Shlomo HaMelech, and that's what Avraham Avinu did. He forecasted what he could do, and Shlomo HaMelech said the same thing, meaning you must look to Maisa others similar bonim. But my boy said, what does it mean, a simon? What is the meaning of a simon labonim? A simon means a tikvah. Something ahead, no? You can forecast from something that happened in the past as to what will happen. A simon means a sign as to how to behave in the future, a tikvah. There's a medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Tzadik Ches Perek Yudalad, says the medrash, Omar Rav Yitzchok, Hakol Bekivui, everything in life is expectation and anticipation. Everything. Hakol, everything is kivui. Everything is tikva. Everything is what's going to happen in the future. Everything ahead. Kirush Hashem, Nekadesh Shimcha Bo'ilo, Na'aritzva Benakdishcha, Yeheshmei Rabu Mavorach. No. The Gula, Ubenei Yushalayim Yak, Besechazen Eilen. Everything is anticipation. Everything is in the future. Chinuch Bonim, no. Shalom Bais, you hope. Olam Habo, no? It's all, everything is anticipation. What's going to happen in the future? Look at the end of benching. Everything is what's going to happen in the future. Everything is kivui. Everything is future. A siman means something that is going to happen in the future. But you look to the past to see what happened. That's the key behind it. Let me share with you a beautiful point. I was once in London, Golders Green. And the rabbi of a shul there, David Stern Shlita, turned around to me and said as follows, a beautiful point. He said, what does a 17-year-old boy think when he says the words, Al tashlichenu l'eis zikno, kichlois kochenu al tazvein? What on earth does he think? Al tashlichenu l'eis zikno, 17-year-old boy with all his strength? Maze! Zikno? Who thinks about zikno? Al tashlichenu l'eis zikno. What does a 17-year-old boy think when he's saying those words in Slichas? Said David to me as follows, I'll tell you what it means. When you're 17 years old, you have to anticipate old age already. Plan for the next 70 years ahead. That's how much preparation you need for old age. You need to prepare yourself at the age of 17 that you won't become weak, you won't become demented, you won't become incapacitated. That's what it means. Even that's kibui. Everything is kibui. Kibui means a simon. Look ahead. Look to see how you're going to behave. Everything is kibui. How cold are kibui? The Yeruchim, if you look in Chelek Gimel, the first maimer of Yeruchim, Yeruchim brings down a Gemara about Reb Yirmiyah. Listen to this. Reb Yirmiyah said, when you bury me, please bury me with buttons on my coat, with my shoes on, with my stick at my side, and do not bury me in the middle of the Beis HaKvaros. Bury me by the side of the road. Do not bury me. Why? Because when Trias HaMason comes, I want to be ready. Yeah, such a thing. I want to be ready there. There might be a delay. I don't know. It's like a train comes. When the train comes, if you're not ready immediately, the train will move on, says Reb Yochanan. You have to be ready immediately. I have to be ready immediately. That's called the kibbutz. You live the kibbutz. No, you live the kibbutz. You live the tikvah. The tikvah. Aboisai, now, look at the siman from the Novi. The Novi Micha says as follows. Ki meitzei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, eseh lochem niflois. As you came out of Mitzrayim, I will do the same thing in the future. There will be the same thing. I don't know what it means. Does it mean that in the future there will be dam, tzvadeh, kilim, and orev? We know one thing for sure. We know that there will be a bivorot, because they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the bivorot up in the sky for the time of Gog and Magog. But I don't know what it means. I don't know the extent of it. The Malbim says on that pasuk, meaning, I will do nifos for you in the following way. You will be lachutzim unu'unim. And I will do for you, I will do unbelievable nisim for you. Meaning, what happened in Mitzrayim is the siman for us. The siman for us is to look at Mitzrayim. From Mitzrayim, we see the siman. And that is what Avraham Avinu wanted, no? He wanted, he himself planned, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech wanted. The Mishkanos look to see the past. Today, Rabbi Yisrael, was the yortzeit of the altar from Keln, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, Srusa Yogin Aleinu, Ches Av. There's a mimer of the altar. If you want to look it up, it's in Chelik Aleph, Mimer Gimel. And the altar says, this is the forecast of how Yitzias and the Good Hashem will take place. It's all in the parasha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the altar. It's there, it's right there inside. And the altar brings 2 points out that we must take out of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that will be how the Good Hashem will take place. The first is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Noisa Ba'olim Chaber. I want to take that idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to develop it a little bit more in front of you. I want to show you what the altar means. The koyach of chesed, the koyach of caring and concern for somebody else. Look carefully. The beginning of Shemais, which is the beginning of the Shibud and also the Gula, has one theme right from the beginning. Private, domestic themes, scenes of chesed. No diplomacy. Private, domestic scenes. The two midwives, Shifra looked after the physical needs and Pua looked after the emotional needs. Physical and emotional care. Look carefully. Miriam went out as a babysitter, Leideo Mayosolo. What's happening? She cared about him. The caring, the private domestic scenes of caring. Basia comes down, she saw a child, a baby crying, and she had rachamim on the child. Physical and emotional needs. Along comes Moshe Rabbeinu, a 12-year-old young boy, leaves the palace and walks the streets of Cairo and cries his eyes out. He can't bear to see what's going on. Old people schlepping bags, and he did whatever, he couldn't take it. He was broken to see what was happening. Said Borei Olam, because you left the palace and cared after my son, I will leave Shamayim and talk to you peh el peh, because of what you did, I will do the same to you. I will talk to you. And the altar says as follows, nowhere do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest tzaddik, nor the greatest Talmid Chacham, but he cared, he had ichpatiyut, and that's the theme. The theme, the beginning of the Gula has to come out from private domestic scenes of caring, of concern, nice of oil. The whole of Shemais, the beginning of Shemais is all on that scene. Aaron comes out, Beruach HaBesamach B'Libay. He saw and understood that Moshe was going to be the Mashiach. He knew it straight away. He was emotionally involved. He was so happy for Moshe Rabbeinu that he would be the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael. A few weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, the Rav mentioned, I think it was the beginning of the 3 weeks, the greatest problem we have is we're still living under the curse of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is the scourge which we have in our door. Meaning, as you know, by Sheni, it was all because of Sinas Chinam. I myself would like to explain what does it mean Sinas Chinam in our door. Maybe I'm going over the line, but I feel I must say it because I feel very strongly. The nature of Sinas Chinam in our door is one aspect of Sinas Chinam. We become extremely partisan. We say my group is the only group and every other group is treif. Meaning, they label, you label other people. You label people and say this is not my group, this is something else. And that's the show. Sinas Chinam is something like that person is a Chabadska, that is a Sephardi person, that is an Eitznik, that is a Bnei Akiva type of person. The labeling is absolutely impossible. It's crucial. Because what happens is you say, I am right, I am the elitist, and everybody else is not the elitist. That is the nature of Sinas Chinam. Rabbeinu, did you know? Rav Hutna, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once said, if Golda Meir, in his time, she was the prime minister. She was unbelievably anti-Chared, anti-Torah. If Golda Meir would walk in the room at this moment, I would not stand up for her. I would not give her any cover as a prime minister. But if she would come to me and say to me, I need help with the shidduch for my son, I will do everything I possibly can. Is that a beautiful line? The person, not the shitta. I disagree with the shitter, but the person is valuable to me. The yid is a person to me. It's a beautiful line of Avodah. Satmar Rebbe was fire and brimstone against Tzionim. That if a person who was a Tzioni knocked on his door, he, Mamash, was there for them in every possible way. It made no difference to him. There was no barrier. There were no parties. There were no groups. Everything was the same. And that is our problem. We make groups. We make limitations. And that's the problem. I was very fortunate to have a connection with Rav Matisyahu Zecher Tzadik Livracha in Gateshead. Rav Matisyahu, when he arrived in Lakewood, did an incredible thing, which nobody has ever done. Did you know? Rav Matisyahu gave shmuzim in Williamsburg to the Satmar Hasidim. He went to the Chalabas in Flatbush. He spoke in Yeshiva University twice a month. He spoke to Bnei Akiva. He spoke to everybody, besides all the yeshivas and the Bnei Torah. He was across the board. The man was an unbelievable person. There were no limitations, no barriers. I believe that is our problem which we have nowadays. We make limitations, we make unbelievable barriers. And the Sinas Chinam is, he's not like me, I'm something else. I was fortunate when he lived in Haunov to make a bar mitzvah. And we made the reception in the horn on Lochavagasi Chavos Das. Safadi Shul, the shul of David Yosef. I gave invitations round to the neighbors. I went over to one neighbor and I said, "Here, I'd like you to invite you to my simcha." He looked at the invitation and says, "You're making a reception there. Mazel tov, but of course, you know, I'm not coming to your simcha." I said, "Why not?" "Because it's the Mokum of Safadim." I said, "What are you talking about? I don't go to a place of Sephardim." I said, "What on earth are you saying? How can you say such a thing? What are you talking about? I don't go to Sephardim." Mazel. I was so broken. I went to speak to an Odom Godel Ma'oid, a Stefanski who lived at the time in Haunov. I said to him, "Mazel, listen to what the man told me. Listen to the way the man lived." He said to me as follows, "What would have happened if the second after he said that lie, he died, and he went up to Beis Neshom Ma'ala, and they turned around to him and said to him as follows, 'Please tell us what was the last words you said in Olam Hazeh?' 100% sinas chinam. 100% sinas chinam. Unbelievable sinas chinam. No, that's the problem. The problem is that person is, you cast people aside in an incredible way. And that's the tremendous tragedy which is going on. The great Rav Shimon Bar Dani, the Rosh Yeshiva Porat Yosef, he was nifter about 3 or 4 years ago. A year or so before he was nifter, they took him to Lakewood. And he gave different shiurim in different places around. Someone tried to bait him. Listen to what they did. They turned and said to him, "You think this is a choshva place? Look at all the mansions in Lakewood. Look at all what's going on here in Lakewood. All the gashmas and everything." Said Reb Shimon, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, "I don't look at that. I look to see the chesed which comes out of America, and I look to see the Moses HaTorah. I'm not interested in talking about people. And everybody here makes, you know, those people living in America, why don't they come to live in this? It's not my business where they live. It's not my business. People living in, if they're living in America, it's not my, there they are. And people make labels." I went to a kiddush a few weeks ago, and someone stood at the kiddush and said, "What's happened with all this? Why don't they come to live in Israel?" That's their decision. It's not my decision. And it becomes an issue of sinas chinam. Those people living in America, they're living in America. That's their cheshbon. Maybe they can't get on with Israelis. Maybe they're children. Maybe they can't make panosa. And you know you're there. Abu Mazen says sinas chinam to turn around and say, "You know, he's living in America. He's moving again." It's not my business. My business is to love another yid. That's what my business is. My tochnit is to show Ava to another. Whatever he is, whether he's a Sephardi, whether he's a Chabadska, whoever he is a yid. I never in my life ever heard an Odom Godel talking like that. Those living there in America, I was showing because they're living there. I never heard an Odom Godel talk like that. But Vadai, there's a mitzvah to come here. But Rabbi said there's something called a shita, and there's something called a person. And you have to have the Avas Yisrael. I believe that's the shayish of it all. The person himself behind it all. Maisa with Avadia. Two Syrian Yidden came over to Eretz Yisrael. Two Syrians, totally assimilated, no connection to Torah mitzvahs at all. I don't think they wore a kapel, I don't think they had tzitzis on, nothing at all. They heard about someone called Rabbi Avadia Yosef on the Chava Kablan in Haunov. They decided to go along. I think someone gave like a paper kapel to put on like you have at the Kosel. No connection to Yiddishite at all. They walked inside the room where Rabbi Avadia was there. It was an older man and a younger man. As they walked in, the Bavadia turned around and said, "Yesh reach shel gan Eden becheder zu. Mi nichnas achshav? Mi nichnas? Who's come in? There's a smell of gan Eden." They turned around and said, "What are you talking about?" So Bavadia said, "There's a reach of gan Eden here. They asked who just came in. These two Yidden had just come in. These Yidden who were mamish like goyim, and the father, an older man and the younger man. Rabbi Radia said, everybody please leave the room. I want to talk to these two people here. There's a reach of Gan Eden from these people. Rabbi Radia knew what a reach of Gan Eden was. He sat with the people and turned around and said as follows, please tell me, what did you do in your life? What did you do in your life? There was a smell of Gan Eden on you. I have no idea what you're talking about. Rabbi Radia said, no, please, please think. You did something in your life. The older man, who was about 65, turned around and said to Rabbi Radia the following, perhaps it's this. When I was a child, about 10, 8, 9, 10 years old, a young kid, my father used to get up every single night and cry his eyes out. He couldn't bear the thought that they were making soap out of Yidden. He couldn't bear it. He cried and cried every single night. They're making bars of soap from Yidden in the camps. He couldn't take it. My father was completely distraught. I was about 8, 9 years old. And every time I came down, I saw my father crying, a Syrian Yid. He said, he couldn't take it. One day he turned around to me and he said, come with me. I was about 8, 9 years old, a kid. Come with me. We're going to Germany. We're going to buy all the soap and bury all the soap that we can find. They took all the money they had and they bought everywhere they could find bars of soap and they buried it as soon as they could find any soap. Came to the last place where they came to, last place. They had no money left, nothing left. That they knew that was some retailer, somebody had bars of soap. They went to the place, and the man turned around, they turned around and said, we'd like to buy any soap you have. I'm not interested. He slammed the door in their face. This man, who was a child to a man, said, no, don't slam the door in our face. Please, we want to buy the soap from you. We don't have any money, but please. He said, why, you haven't got any money? So he turned around, I turned around and said, I'll give you my shirt. I'll take my shirt off. I'll give you my shirt if you give me all the bars of soap. I said, okay, the seder. I'll take your shirt. He took the shirt and he gave me all the soap and we buried the soap. We went back to America after that. I had no shirt, no money, no nothing. We had nothing at all. Said Baba Vadia, that is why you have the Reach of Gan Eden on you, because what you did with your father, that. The man was a completely assimilated Yid. He was a person who came out like a goy, but he had a Reach of Gan Eden. Isn't that the problem we have? We don't smell the Reach of Gan Eden on another Yid. That's the problem we have. Isn't that? Baba Vadia could recognize it. By him, there were no barriers. Whoever you are, whatever you are, to recognize it. I was once in Meir Shalim in a taxi. And the taxi was on a street where there was room for one car on the street. And we were driving down the taxi, and my driver was like a little like bottle top kippah on his head, a Sephardi driver with a little kippah on his head, a lovely fellow. And we're driving down the road. As we were driving down the road, another car came onto the road and hooted and flashed his lights and told us to get off the street, but we were on the street first. He hooted and hooted. I looked at the man in the car. He managed to look like Elio Anovi. Big black hat with long pears, mamasha, big white beard. Mamasha, real choshevedi. And eventually our car came up to his car. He wound his window down, Elio Anovi, and let out an expletive, Rabbi said, which I never ever heard in my life before. He swore and cursed my driver because he had to get off the street because he wasn't on the street on the bus. Unbelievable. The man turned around to me, the driver turned around to me and said as follows. He took me all the way back to Hanov, crying his eyes out. He said, Rebbe, isn't that the reason why we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? That's pure. I was on the road first. This man looked like an Elio Anovi, and this man was like a taxi driver, nothing. We have to recognize that. We have to be clever and wise. We have to look to see if there's a Yid behind it all, and that's it. That's the need which we have. We have to move on from there. That is the first point which the Alter says, the recognition bein odam lachaveiro, private domestic scenes of caring. The second point which the Alter says is as follows. From the time of the snare onwards in Parsha Shemois, there's one theme. It's a theme of Emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu came to the bush and Bo'i Olam said to him, I want you to go on a mission. Your mission is to go to Paroi to release my children, Bini B'chayri, and then go to the Zakenim and ask the Zakenim if they will agree to me being the leader, to you being the leader. That was the order. The mission was that Moshe Rabbeinu was to go to Paroi and then go to the Zakenim. If you look carefully, says the Alter, at Chamishi in Parsha Shemois, the order is switched. It doesn't happen like that. The first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to do is first go to the Zakenim and then go to Paroi afterwards. Says the Alter, but one minute, why? Why didn't they first of all go to Paroi? Surely if Moshe Rabbeinu were walked into palace and said, let my people go, Avada, go and turn around to the Zakenim, and said, if that's what happened, you walked out alive, such chutzpah to turn around to Paroi, No, that's not the way it was, says the Alter. First of all, check up and see if they're holding my pocket per cavity. Where is Klal Yisrael? Are they still have emuna? Do they still believe? Do they still have emuna that will be a Mashiach? That will be emuna? If they do, then you can go to the power, but only in that order. The Seder was switched. In order to be Zoicha to the Gula, says the Alter, you first must have anima mi be'afal pishe yisma mea achake loy b'chol yoyim sheyov. B'chol yoyim sheyov. The great Ben Moshe, Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Gevorcha, learnt up the Medrash, the same Medrash as Akolka B'Kibri, said with Moshe, listen to this solution of Ben Moshe, Zecher Tzadik Gevorcha, Moshe Shapira. The Bocha which Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed said to Don, Don Yodin Amoy, Ke'echot Shivtei Yisrael, Don will be the judge of his people, and all of Klal Yisrael will be around him and support him. They will all be unified together with Don. Yehi Don nochash alei dorech. And Don will be like a serpent on the road, shafifa like a viper, biting noishech ikvesus vayipal roif ba'ochon. And he will bite all the nations of the world. Says the Medrash on this, Yaakov Avinu believed that Shimshon, who was from Shevet Don, was going to be the Mashiach. Yaakov Avinu believed this is the Mashiach. And Reb Moshe explained why, what's behind it all. And he explained a beautiful maimah. He said like this, Shimshon is from the name Shemesh. Shemesh means one unified, which all the world depends on. Shimshon will be the one who all of Klal Yisrael will be surrounded, because everybody will need, the whole world needs the Shemesh, and Shimshon recognizes that. There was no army with Shimshon. Shimshon acted by himself completely. He was totally alone in his avodah. Yaakov Avinu then saw that he died. Next pasuk. Yishuascha Gibisi Hashem. Next Pasuk. He wasn't the Mashiach. And therefore, Anima Amin Afal Pisha Yisma Mea Achakeloi. Yishuascha Gibisi Hashem. Yaakov Avinu thought I was wrong. He will not be the Mashiach. Why specifically Shimshon? Because the Mishkan was built by Bezalel from Shevet Yehuda and by Eliyahu was from Shevet Don. Shimshon's father was from Don and Shimshon's mother was from Shevet Yehuda, and he believed that connection, Yehuda and Don, is inside Shimshon, his father and his mother, and he'll be the Mashiach. He was wrong, and therefore he ended up by saying, Ani Ma'amin, Shuaso Kibisi Hashem. And that is the level which we have to try and do. We have to reach a level of Emuna. The Derech Bein Odom LaChaveiro, the Derech Bein Odom LaMokoyim, and that's the Nekuda. I believe our boys say that is the nachbasod orchkeinu the nachkoyim and oshuv ad Hashem. That is what we must do. We've seen miracles in the last few weeks. We are just the same as the Dor HaMidbar. Maybe we are put in the same position. They cried tonight. They cried. We must cry over the base of Middash, but we must do tshuva. That's what we must do. The purpose of the tzoyim is to do tshuva. Nach tesadoch keinu, push what we're doing wrong. The nachkara, and investigate things which we do right. The noshuva ad Hashem. That is the point. Our avoida is to take over from what the Dor HaMidbar. I believe that's why this Tisha B'Av is Manishtana Tisha B'Av Hazul Mikola Tisha B'Av. It's entirely different this year. This Tisha B'Av is not the same as every other Tisha B'Av. Every other Tisha B'Av, you're sitting on the floor. But this year, since we've seen such miracles, such nisim, such incredible nisim, we are, as the Rav said, we are Morgel Ben Nisim, not so Mechalism, we are Morgel Ben Nisim. Unbelievable things have happened. And for that, we must recognize that. We must come out and say, Ribbon Shalom, we're doing tshuva in front of you. That's the point behind it all. And our tikva is all based on, the similar bonim comes from Mitzrayim. And that's what the Navi Micha said. The Navi said, everything is from Mitzrayim. Once you see from Mitzrayim, you see the whole derech. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said, that's what Yaakov Avinu saw as well. That's what Abba Avinu saw by his Ben Absol. He saw that koyach behind it. Rabbi Yisai, you know as well as I do. When they came here, they made the national song. It's a tune which is by Svetna, the Moda. La 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 la. It's a beautiful tune, but we have to change the lyrics a little bit. Od loy avdo tikvoseinu, ha-tikvoshnas alpayim. Instead of liyos amchopshi ba'altseinu, change the words. Nach besodokin v'nachkoiva v'noshuva. Eretz Tzion b'Yerushalayim Od loy avda tikvoseinu ha-tikvosh nas hapayim nach besodokeinu v'nach koira v'noshuva Eretz Tzion b'Yerushalayim, meaning ani ma'amin b'emunah shleima, Bevias Hamashiach. The Afal Pisha Yismamea, which Yaakov Avinu said, she was also giving, Achakelo, I will wait. I will wait. My chippus, my tikva is Benodam Nachaveva. I will recognize another yid. I will give honor to another yid. I will care, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, like Vasya did. I will show recognition to another yid, wherever, whichever group, wherever they're from, whoever they are. Like Rav Huna said, like the Satmar Rebbe did. Unbelievable. Like Rav Badani said, whatever. I'm not judging people. I'm here only to live and to live with other yid and show Avas Yisrael, whoever they are, whatever they are. If we can do that, then the Mashuva Ad Hashem, Shenizke Lirois Emit Hashem, Yomim Tovim B'Yisrael, Achak Elosh Yibonah Beis Hamikdash, B'Meir B'Yomeinu, Amen.